Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen podcast, brought to you in association with 101.8 WCRFM, Wolverhampton's local radio station. And I'm pleased and privileged to say that joining me is Veronica. Welcome.
Hello.
And I want to ask you just three simple questions to start with, just to set the scene of what we're going to talk about. First of all, excuse me asking your age, but how old are you?
I'm 17.
And what is your home nation?
I'm Ukrainian.
And your home city?
Mariupol.
Now, for many people, that will immediately help them understand what we're going to be talking about today. People will have seen the devastation on the television, have no idea what it feels like at all. But what I want to know is what Mariupol is like as a city before all this happened. You know, I think it was a beautiful city. And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's true. It was really nice city with a lot of parks. But as well, it was one of the main infrastructure points of the whole country. So we had two factories which were producing steel, a lot of steel for weapon, for different reasons. And these two factories were like almost the main in the country. So we produced a lot of steel, and as well we had because it's Mariupol is a city near the sea, so on the coast of the sea, we had a lovely port, so we were exporting the steel to other countries. So and through the port also it was going a lot of seeds like sunflower oil, like just usual wheat, and talking about the city like at all. I would say that the most beautiful part was actually the parks and the historical parts of the city.
Right. And home life for you before the invasion happened?
I was very busy person because I was going like to Lyceum, and I was studying there from 8 to 4, and then I was going to English courses, so like extra one. Yeah, and after that I was going to art school, so some days I was coming back like at 8 o'clock in the evening, so I was going out from home at 8 and coming back at 8, but in different time. And as well I was really enjoying walking around the city between my different schools.
Nice. Yeah. Get the right time of year, it would be nice, I should imagine. Sometimes of year it might be a colder walk there. But.
Yeah.
And tell us about your family, who you live with.
Yes, so I was living with my dad, my mom and my sister, and as well we had a lot of pets. Yeah, we had a whole zoo in at home. Yeah, yeah, so we had like three cats, dog, fishes, guinea pigs, so a lot of,
right.
Yeah. And I think it's the most memorable things about our pets, actually, that I still a bit thinking a lot about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I have pets myself, and I do know they are a part of your family. And when you lose them, you know, it is like losing losing someone who is a part of your family. The invasion obviously happened on the 24th of February, but it was all building up before then. And what was the feeling in Mariupol? Was there a lot of fear and apprehension around? Because I think in the rest of the world, perhaps people were thinking, oh, Putin won't ever do it. But I just wondered what it felt like in Mariupol.
Yeah, actually, I would say that even beginning from the 2014 and since like this 8 years, yeah. I guess, like almost every evening when I was, especially in the summer, like when I was going out to collect some peaches or apples, I was heard some like explosions very far from us, but they were still there. And when when it appeared a lot of information about war coming up, people just didn't really believe it because we used to it. I mean, we heard explosions over almost every evening, so it wasn't we didn't think that it will be something serious.
Right, but there'd been some fear there since Crimea had been annexed, so from that time onwards people were really quite tense about what might happen.
Yeah, people were kind of afraid of it, and especially our family, because we were kind of involved like in all this. So we were moving, so me and my mom, we were moving out when in 2014. So we kind of were looking for a lot of news. We were searching, we were doing some researches on this topic. So we kind of knew that it's gonna happen. Right. Yeah.
So the 24th of February came. Just talk us through what happened from your point of view.
Yeah, so the thing is that as we heard like first like very loud explosions, we went to another town, yeah, which is a bit on the west of the country, and then my father left in Mariupol, and we left almost all our family because we kind of were going for a vacation for 3 days. I took things like clothes and food with us. We took it just for 3 days, and then my father calling us on 25th of February, and he's telling us that it started.
Right. And I suppose from what you said earlier about Mariupol and its importance, its nearness to the sea, all the trade that went through there, it was a very strategic place for Russian forces to try to take over. So you were on the front line and in the firing line. So your father warned you it wasn't going to be for 3 days, it was going to be
longer. But I couldn't expect that it will be longer than a year.
So you didn't. So from the moment you left on the 25th of February, you haven't been back.
No, and actually all the things that I had when I came in here, like in UK, it was the things that I took with me for 3 days.
Right. Yeah. And so your mother and your sister, yourself, left. And presumably not your pets.
No, definitely not my
pets. So were they lost to you completely? Or is your father able to, did your father stay behind and able to look after them?
No, actually my father came out from the city a bit later. Right. But, and as well my aunt, uncle and grandmother from mother's line. But my grandparents from the father's side, they're still living in Mariupol now.
Nice.
So they were able to find like three of our cats, and they're kind of looking after them.
Right. But, well, I know it was so close to you because you said the pets are part of your family. I just wonder what would, because I think people who have pets, you know, thinking of having to leave and what they can take with them and what they can't take with them is a part of the agony. So you go off for 3 days, in theory, and you're told that you can't return. So what happened to your mum and yourself and your sister from then on?
Yeah, then we decided to go, as it started, as our father, my father warned us that it's not possible to come back.
Yeah.
We went further on the west of Ukraine, which is, I guess it's Ivano-Frankivsk. Probably some audience will know this city, but it's very close to Lviv.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and we spent there about 1 month, I guess, living in two bedrooms flat with eight more people. So right. It was very crowded.
Now, my very poor geography of Ukraine is that Lviv is quite a long way from Mariupol, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's right across. So how did you, were you on trains? Is that how you managed to travel?
No, actually, all the way, we were traveling for 4 days
right.
and about three nights. Yeah, and all the way my mom was driving. And I was like, I was telling her where to drive. I mean, I was just sitting all in my phone, looking at the map and trying to find somewhere to stay for a night.
Yes.
For night. And it was really long way. And because people were also moving out from the cities, it was a lot of traffic. So the most like memorable thing for me, it was when we were standing in traffic like for 7 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and it was at night, so yeah. we were moving between two cities, and there was the piece of the road for 30 kilometers, and these 30 kilometers we were like very slowly moving them for 7 hours.
Yes. Yes. That must have been exhausting and terrifying.
Yeah, it was kind of. But sometimes now we are remembering it like a bit funny because my mom, when she was very tired, there was a road in forest and we were going there on the car. And she
You found a little route down through the
forest. Yeah, well, just to make the way shorter.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and she shouted to me and like, oh, there's the bunnies, like jumping over through the road. I said, Mom, it's not bunnies, it's just the holes in the road. So she was that tired that she kind of started to see the bunnies where they weren't there.
Nice. So you managed to get to Lviv and found somewhere, although sharing with lots of other people. So carry on with the story.
Yeah. Then, which is really nice for us, the thing that I had a friend in Poland, and I kind of contacted her, and she said we can help you, like me and my family, we can help you. You can come to our city and just stay with us.
How did it make you feel when you got that invitation?
Yeah, very kind of happy because it was more safe, like rather than sitting and waiting for any, like, whip on a bomb that will fall on your head.
And you wouldn't, obviously you're traveling in the car, lots of other people are traveling as well. And you wouldn't know where safe was and where safe wasn't, would you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have. You know, we probably knew more watching from over here about what was happening, where the biggest dangers were, than you would have on the road. So you really didn't know what could happen at any minute.
Yeah, because when you stand, especially when you're standing in traffic at night, and you hear the plane flying somewhere, and it's just the most terrible feeling. In I think it's the greatest fear in my life.
Yeah.
And so then we went to Poland, mm-hmm. actually, and we were staying with my friend also for about a month. And
were you able to keep in touch with your father regularly during this time?
Actually, when we were moving from the Mariupol to the Ivano-Frankivsk, which is near Lviv, we didn't have any connection with my father, so we didn't know if he's alive or not. And when my mom decided to go to Poland, it was only our decision, so without my father, because he didn't know about that, because there was no connection with him. When we were standing on the border with Poland, our father suddenly called us. And she said that I went out, and he went out about, I guess it was in March. So he wasn't driving the car. He just walked out, definitely like by legs. And it was about 20 kilometers far.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm really proud of my dad because
rightly
it was,
so.
Yeah.
Rightly so. So you get to Poland, relative safety for you and your sister and your mom. Obviously worried about everyone else, the nation, everything that's going on there. But were you able to be in then to sort of make some plans about what would happen next?
The thing is that some people, like even in Poland, some people were saying that it can be not really safety because no one knew what will happen next. So that's because we decided to go further, like from the war, and we found sponsors in mm-hmm. here, like in UK. We found out about the sponsorship program for Ukrainians, and sitting like on the bed on the sofa in Poland, I was looking for a lot of sponsors. First time it wasn't really successful, but then just by chance I met just one woman who was kind of in contact with our sponsors, and then it was the first call on 21st of March when I called Nikki and Phil, and we had a lovely talk. I was in tears, honestly. Yeah, and then I started to fill all the documents.
Right, right.
By myself.
You tell this story amazingly, in terms of you were looking, you know, on your phone and you were on the internet, and your English is excellent, but you were still learning English at that stage, weren't you? So it must have been more difficult. I can't imagine, if it was happening in reverse for me, how I'd ever cope. But you must have something in there that really drove you forward and enabled you to support your mum and your sister in that particular way.
Yeah, and actually the fun fact that I was 16 then, and I couldn't imagine that now I will be sitting here. Yeah, and so my English, thanks to my mom, because she put me into English courses back in Ukraine. So I was studying like for 2 or 3 years, like very intensively.
Yeah, sorry. That's nice. Absolutely. Your English is superb. Absolutely.
Sorry,
superb.
I'm trying to, yeah, no, to cope with words.
It is. Your English is excellent, really excellent. It's very, very clear. It's very easy to understand what you're saying. Don't worry.
Yeah, so then when we found the sponsors, like, I started to fill all the documents. And it was really hard, because few times I filled them not really correctly, so I had to refill them again to read all the conditions and, like, terms which will help me to understand the scheme, the sponsorship scheme more, and what are they asking about us. Became the time for Phil and Nikki, so our sponsors, to fill the forms. To fill the forms, I was correcting them, like, in some
things. You were helping them.
Yeah, I was helping them. So after that...
Well, if I'd been filling the forms and you'd been helping me as well, I can promise you.
After that, someone said that I would get an A star in filling forms if I would have it as A level. Yeah. And then we get our visas. So, and it was a very long way, because we were waiting for it about months. So because some not really correct things that actually that I've done, or that the government also, from the side of the government, it was also not really correct. Yeah. So, and
we
then,
call do you know the phrase red tape?
Yeah,
red tape. Yes, it's that's what was holding it up, and there was a lot, and we know from this end of the sponsorship scheme, and I know some people who are sponsors that they found it very frustrating at times, that it was so difficult just to try to open up their home to people like yourself who are fleeing away from a war.
Yeah, it's not really frustrating, but it's more like seeing when you just tired from waiting. Yeah. But then after a month of waiting and finally getting the visa, we went back to Ukraine for a few days to leave our car for my father. Mm-hmm. So he finally went out from this Mariupol, from the city, and he moved to Lviv.
Yeah.
And he found a flat there, like somewhere to live. So we just left the car for him. Yeah, it was actually my mom's work car, so we kind of couldn't go too far on it.
Yeah.
And then we went to Warsaw.
But you didn't get a chance to see him when you were taking the car back, presumably. You just left it there for him. You didn't see your father.
No, we have seen.
Oh, you did see him.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And it was really, we were really happy, but at the same time very sad, because we already took a decision to go even further.
Yeah.
So that meant that we won't see him for about more than half of the year, more than 6 months. And actually it happened. Yeah. And so then we went back to Poland, to Warsaw. And from Warsaw we flew on the plane, actually, to Birmingham. Nice. And then our sponsors collected us from airports. We finally saw them, and it was in the evening, so we it was all on trust, yes. Honestly, because we didn't know these people, they didn't know us, so and we just were really happy that we met them.
And you still just had your 3 days worth of clothes that you'd left with.
Yeah, okay. We kind of borrowed and bought some things in Poland, but we still had this kind of amount of clothes.
So when you met up with your sponsors, Nikki and Phil, Nikki and Phil, how did that meeting go? I imagine at one level you'd probably want to all hug each other. At another level, you're sort of thinking, oh, it's all on trust. We don't know these people yet. How did that first meeting go?
Yeah, so actually we were crying. Yeah, because finally, we were safe. Yeah. Second, we found the people who will help us. And actually, we called them like before, so we already kind of knew each other. Because of that, of these few factors, like it was really warm meeting, and then we just went to their house, and we were just fall asleep. Yeah, because we were very tired after road and after plane, so it was
not surprised.
Just, yeah.
So how has life moved on for you since that time?
Yeah, so we were living like with them actually, and me and my sister went to the college, technical college, and I kind of started to fit into social life, but as I was really nervous about my accent and language. Yeah, that's because I was always trying to say to Nick and Phil, just correct me anytime, correct my words, because I'm not so sure what I'm talking about. Yeah, and how would I say it?
Well, like I said before, your English is absolutely outstanding, so don't ever worry about that, especially, you know, some of us who perhaps struggle with our own native language as well. Now, obviously, you're safe here, your mum's safe, sister's safe. I'm assuming also your father's safe, but he's still in Ukraine. As you look to the future, can you have any hopes at the moment? Do you have any idea about what could happen, what you'd want to happen?
One more small thing, that we live in separate from our sponsors. So now we found our own flat. And
does that feel good to have that independence?
Kind of, yes, but we really miss Nikki and Phil, because sometimes we are going to them just to have a cup of tea and just to have.
Well, they're friends for life, aren't they?
Yeah, and we're family for life. Yeah, yes. It's like a second family for us. Yeah. About plans for future. I would say that for me, now I can see that the war, unfortunately, not going to finish that quickly. Just it's not going to finish by snap. Because there's a lot of things that people here don't know that we know.
Obviously, people have seen the images of Mariupol and other parts of Ukraine. And as you know, what are your hopes for your country moving forward? Because we can't know what's in the minds of Russia. But I wonder what your hopes are.
Yeah, for me, as for whole nation of for whole Ukrainian nation, it's of course the win, like to win, because it's like from my point of view, the war in 21st century in 2022 or 2023, it's something unacceptable, definitely, because why? We had it like 100 years before, so about Second World War. And we understood that it's not so good when someone's trying to put a pressure on other countries. And now it's happening again. So, of course, I really hope that Ukraine will win, and it will give an understanding for the whole world that it's not acceptable to invade another country. Yeah, but talking about my plans, I guess, because from as now I'm studying economics, from economical point of view, the country after war, so you probably like Ukraine, even if we will win, it won't be so easy to rebuild it again and to build up the economics, the whole social life and things, like just reconstruct to rebuild the usual towns and cities and just buildings. So
have you chosen to be an economist because of what's happened in Ukraine, so that you can be a part of the rebuild? Was that in your thinking at all?
No, not really. I'm an artist, so right. I'm more into graphic design. And for me, I would say that for my plans, I would, with understanding of economical situation, I would rather stay in UK because for a bit longer time. But then, of course, I will come back to help to recover the country.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's Easter time.
Yes.
Is Easter, are you a person of faith? Is Easter important to your family, to you? Or is that not a part of your lifestyle?
No, sure. But we have Easter on a different day. So you have it 9th of April.
Yes, it moves around and we all get confused.
But for us, it's like a week later.
Right.
And for us, Easter is also very, very warm and very important, holiday, because we usually collecting all the family together, and we sit on the table and talking about things, and we eating some special cakes for Easter, fighting with eggs. So we kind of. So we sit on the table talking through things, eating special cakes and eating eggs for chocolate and usual ones. So as we wish.
Indeed. So well, the week after we have our Easter, you as a family will be able to sort of sit around, perhaps reflect a little bit on your journey. Will there be opportunity that day perhaps to speak to your father, to contact him, or is that still very difficult?
No, it's not. We contact him every day.
Excellent.
So, we're doing it by FaceTime by video call, or just the usual one. It depends. Yeah. And as well, I haven't mentioned, but I was able to take part of my family here. So it's my aunt, uncle, my little cousin, and my grandmother. So my grandma living with us in our flat, and the rest of the family, they're living with Nikki and Phil's friend. So he's also from church, and so we kind of find him through them. And he was really kind to accept the family, my part of family.
It sounds like they've been incredibly welcoming to you all, and they have very good hearts. And they're very very generous in that particular way. And in terms of, you've described the beauty of Mariupol as a city, and I've only seen the pictures of what's happened afterwards. What do you hope for Mariupol, your hometown, your home city?
I really hope that Ukraine will take it back, because now it's kind of it's occupied by Russia, and they are trying to put their own government, and people there, I would say that sometimes some people are giving up, some people not giving up. So it really depends on the person. But if the Ukraine will take it back, I'm sure that most of the people will be really glad for it, because people are still believing in that.
My thanks to Veronica for coming in to share her story with us, and we wish the very best for her and her family now settled here in Wolverhampton who move forward. Thank you also for your company on this podcast. Go to wcfm.com, look at podcasts, and you'll see mine there alongside others from members of the station and further afield as well.